Previously on Adventure, you're going to have to break in to the Cornhole Cave. The good news is I think you can find the people that you're going to need right here in this town, and I have some ideas.
An extra set of eyes, extra set of hands, extra set of butts.
You need a rock seeker. I don't even know if you can get into the cave. Lee Rockseeker is her name.
Miss Rockseeker?
Yes.
I think all of us could not wait to hear Bobby's girl dwarf voice.
You'll need someone who can be a distraction.
Are you Lucas Turner?
You bet I'm Lucas. You're going to need someone who can help you disarm magical traps. Our potion master, Espinos, is probably the only one who could probably help you with that.
Wow. Espinos, is it?
Yes, that's my name. It's on the door, so I'm... Good job getting it right, because that would have been really hard. Are you guys idiots? There's a puzzle in this room. If you can solve it, I will go with you.
Can we move the mace into his hand?
I think this whole puzzle is amazing.
Well, dumbasses, what's the plan? You guys are all sitting around the table, and Gizmodo says, I'm very happy that you've managed to collect everyone, and you've made this happen. You're that much closer now to taking out the Black Spider, to finding this item, and possibly just taking that first little inch into saving maybe the world. No pressure or anything, you know?
Nah.
That's what we look for, a noble cause and a noble fight. Right, Julian?
Yeah.
Hendley?
I mean, how long do you think this is going to take?
Hendley.
Oh, Hendley.
That's really up to you guys. I mean, if you can be efficient enough, I think that you could probably do it relatively quickly.
Hendley, have you never wanted to just improve yourself and be better?
I've got family coming in a fortnight. I just want to make sure I'll be home.
All right, let's go on with this, shall we?
Yes, the quicker we can, the quicker we can ditch him, perhaps.
Okay, how far away is this cave?
It's not far, 10 or 15 miles. Probably a...
Downhill?
No, I hope. it's some rough terrain. Unfortunately, the road doesn't lead to Cornhole Cave. You have to leave the road and travel into the woods.
Okay, do you have horses we could borrow?
You can take horses to a point, but the horse is not going to be able to navigate you through the... You probably get the horses for a mile or two, and then the rest of the way you're going to have to hoof it on foot. That wasn't a derogatory term. I'm sorry. I don't know if that offends the Dragonborn or not.
No, I hadn't even thought about it until you said it, actually.
Well, I guess you don't have hooves. You have more like claws.
I do. And they're painted very nicely right now. Mm. Thank you. Can we move on from talking about my claws?
They're lovely sandals.
Thank you.
I feel like your friend Henley is one of those beings who would have a some sort of foot fetish.
Henley is dumbstruck right now.
I wish people listening at home could see the look on Brian's face right now on the Skype chat. frozen in absolute fear. Is there something funny I can say that won't sound horrible?
That's that look, exactly.
Yeah, how can I best not shame myself?
Oh, man.
Redness is and I haven't flamed him or anything,
no,
but he's definitely
not
turning red.
He's definitely turning red. So, yeah, I can give you horses to get the first little bit, but mostly you're going to have to do on foot. Luckily, you know, Lucas knows the area very well, so he'll be able to help you for sure. And I don't think finding the cave itself will be too difficult, especially with Lee with you.
Okay, who knows anything about the defenses? Are we going to be able to just walk into this cave?
I doubt it. Let me pass it over to Lee, because she'll probably be able to better help you guys.
It's my favorite bit every time.
I don't even remember what I did for Lee's voice.
I think it was very high pitched. Is why it seems.
It was something like Richie.
Yes, that's it.
It was very like it was very okay.
Breathless, a little breathless.
Yes. All right, so I haven't been to the cave myself, but Gundren would send me letters talking about it quite frequently in the last few weeks. So I know the basic layout. I wish we had his map. It would have made things so much easier. But I've drawn for you the best I can remember what he told me, and I'll lay it out here in front of you, so you can see it. Now, what I know about this place is that there is a main entrance, and there is also some sort of side entrance. But my brother has always told me that that was a no-go. Like, that was not a place you wanted to
Did he say why?
Venture.
Yes, what was the reason?
He said something very terrible lurks within that cave.
We already have Henley with us.
Something he said, weirdly enough, he said something even more terrible than Henley Littlepeen.
Does it smell worse than Henley Littlepeen? Do we know that?
Is that possible?
Well, if we're stuck in a small cave with Henley and whatever this thing is.
I it'll probably smell really bad, okay. Those combinations of things.
I want to check it out.
Of course you do, Henley.
So all I know is there are...
I'm volunteering to go there first.
Yeah, we should let Henley scout out that cave and see if that's an option. Because we can't just walk in the front door.
We've tried that. It doesn't work as well as we would have liked.
What I can tell you is that when my brothers found it, obviously there was no guards because the cave was lost. I would imagine, and I think that the Black Spider has guarded up the front door quite heavily.
Smell or a raft of guards? I'm thinking smell.
I think we send Henley in first. We send Henley into that side cave, and he's going to sneak in there and see if he can see what it is that we might have to face.
I'll tell you something right now. I've got a nose for these things.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Good, Henley. I'm not entirely sure how helpful you're being right now, but let's move on.
I think we're burning daylight. Let's get out there.
Yeah.
I mean, Calm down, Henley.
We've only been talking for about 3 minutes, so I'd like to finish telling you about the map, if you don't mind.
Henley, let the lady talk.
What's her name again?
Lee.
Lee.
Right.
So I know that there are four main chambers, and they're sort of all sort of stacked on top of each other. You can see on the map, I've marked the main chamber, what they think is the treasure chamber with an X. Here are the things that I know about what you'll be facing as far as what was in the cave when my brothers discovered it. The first chamber has a very thin walkway to get around, and below it is a gaping chasm that you can't see the bottom of. They said there must be some trick to getting across, but they weren't sure what it was. Room two, that's less clear to me. All I know about room two is that it lies in view of the throne room, but you cannot access the throne room, the treasure room, from room two.
No, it seems to have windows, but no doors.
And room three, they said, was the most dangerous room of all. There was the biggest challenge because there was a choice to be made that would lead to either treasure or doom. And this is taken from I don't even know if they ever made it to room three. This is taken from a lot of our legends. You know, this cave has been in the Rockseeker family for a very, very long time.
Well, I definitely would say that if it's anything to do with drinking water out of the right cup, let's have Henley go first.
This is totally a Indiana Jones type situation.
Treasure or doom.
and that's what I know. I know that the cave, which they said can get you past the first room and to safety, so you can quickly access out of the first room.
Do we know where that thin walkway is in room one? Is it toward the main entrance or toward our little side?
That I don't know. We'll have to see when we get in there.
Now, Lee, are you going to be able to do this?
I honestly don't know.
If we look after you, like, you can help us get in, right?
I will be there with you. I will be there to find my brothers and to give them a proper burial and to restore the Rockseeker name and take back the Rockseeker birthright. But
good. I'm very glad to hear that, Lee.
Because that has become as much our quest as it is yours.
I don't know what I can do for you as far as battle goes, but I will do my very best to help you.
Thank you, Lee.
You're very welcome. So that's what I know about the cave.
Okay.
At this point, Espinosa, who came in walking on a cane, sort of raps the cane on the table. And he says, I don't want to be a downer, but don't we think that the legends that this woman knows might have nothing to do with what's lying ahead of us in this cave?
But it certainly can't hurt to know what we're coming up against.
Right, but Espinosa, if those things have changed, are we walking into a trap? We don't know it.
Oh,
could be bad for business.
Yes. But any information we have is more than we would have, perhaps, from you, unless, Mr. Espinosa, you have something to add to this.
I'm here to help on site, but I will tell you this. I think 100% we're walking into a trap. There's no way they're not expecting you guys to be walking in that door. So we have to be extra careful if we're going to make this happen.
Okay.
Because I don't want to die. Yes, Henley?
Now, what if we... If they're expecting us to come, we do the thing they're not expecting and don't come.
Henley, another one of your brilliant ideas, which, I'm not really sure how useful that is.
It's an interesting leap.
Yes. Yeah. All right, Espinosa, what can you do to help us?
When we get on site, I'll be able to help much more once I know what we're dealing with here, and that's really the main problem. But I would say logically, going into the Cave of Doom, which we don't know what we're going to expect, compared to little we do know and expect coming in the front door, I would vote for the front door.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you spoke up. I'm not sure whether that's really a good idea, though.
You'll decide that for yourself. Obviously, yes. I can't stop you.
All for one, I'm voting Cave of Doom. Just saying.
And when we get there, Henley is absolutely going to be going in the Cave of Doom. We just don't necessarily all have to follow him.
And then,
I'm looking through my books. I may be able to help him.
Lucas, who has been sort of like just being uncharacteristically quiet, is sitting there. He kind of stands up to the table, and he puts his hand on the map with a thing that points to the hills that are off to the right of the entrance to the cave.
Thunderhill.
And he says, "These hills are great cover, and I know that I can put a distraction there that will make any guards in front of that place, if they have any sense, turn their heads."
Okay.
I don't know what we're gonna. Well, I don't know what we're walking into. Just like Espino said, but I think you guys probably faced a lot of tough stuff on the way here, and I'm behind you 100%.
Thank you, Lucas.
We have options.
We do have options. I think we need to narrow those options down when we get there. I still think Henley needs to go and look in that cave sneakily, and we can all hide out in the hills, and then we'll make that decision.
We got to get on the road, we got to get through those woods, and we got to get to
Grandmother's house.
Yes.
The moneymaker. All right. I think you guys, and this is Gizmodo steps up and he says, I think you guys have planned all that you can here. As Henley said before, we're burning daylight.
Okay.
I would say that you probably will have one night in those woods, and then you will be able to make your way to the cave tomorrow.
Okay. Tally ho!
All right, so you guys set out. You guys borrow horses from Gizmodo, and you ride out back on to the main road. But before you get to the place where you turned off for Cragmaw, you turn off and go the other way. And you get probably 20 to 30 yards into the brush, and then the horses can't get through anymore. So you have to leave the horses. Espinosa actually gives them like a little sip of each of a potion. And he says, this will get them home. So we don't have to worry about the horses.
I was concerned about that potion for just a second.
I was concerned about the horses.
I thought if we get hungry, you know, there's an option there.
We don't eat horses.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that.
I mean, I think it's more like we don't want to eat horses.
It's kind of a normal thing for me, where I come from. But, okay.
Thrace, no horse eaten.
Well, there can always be Henley eating.
Should have thought of that, my friend.
Hey, everybody, it's Bobby Shortle, your Dungeon Master, and another episode of Adventure halfway through. Thank you so much, Justin Riley, for all the sound effects work, soundscapes, audio mixing, audio sweetening he does. Really great work, and it's much, much appreciated. And thank you very much to BattleBards. BattleBards.com provides a lot of the soundscapes and sound effects that Justin uses. They're awesome for both if you're doing what we're doing here, or even if you're just running a game at home. They're actually integrated into Roll20 now, so you can use their player to put sound effects right into your game. Please follow us on Twitter @DNDAdventure.
And tweet about the show using the hashtag D&D Adventure, and you might get a character named after you. There's several in this episode alone that are named after listeners. Please review us on iTunes. It's kind of the number one thing you can do to get the word about the show out there. It really increases our iTunes rankings. We have a chance to be in like the new and up-and-coming stuff, and that would be huge for us. So please try to do that. Head to patreon.com/talkingcomics, and if you want to give there, that goes to all of the shows. So we very much appreciate that as well. I think that's going to do it for my little interlude. One thing. We are going to miss next week and then come back the week after. And then we're going to go weekly to finish out the arc that we're on right now. The Cornhole Caper. But after the Cornhole Caper, I think we're going to go to a bi-weekly schedule. I know that's going to upset some people, but just the amount of work that has to go into every episode, I think it's going to be necessary to keep the quality of the show up. Because I think it might be unsustainable to do it for weekly, for both Justin and I. So that's what we're going to do. But for now, enjoy adventure. As you guys sort of now have left the horses and you make your way through the brush, it's tough as the woods get thicker, definitely, and you hear a lot of sounds in the surrounding woods. These are obviously wild woods, and as you draw closer to what you think, you know, as you draw closer and closer to the cave, the woods get more and more dense, and you feel more and more this kind of sense of magic in the air, that there's... That there's enchantment happening around you, and there's obviously great power resting in wherever this cave is, because you're still, you know, you're still 10 miles away, and wow.
My scales are tingling.
Exactly, your scales are tingling. And the sun is starting to go down, and you guys come to a path that's crossed. Lucas points down towards one way and says, "This is where the cave is." And then there's another trail that goes off to the right, and he goes, That's the swamp. We don't want to go that way. That's danger, definitely that way.
Thank you, Lucas.
We don't want to go. We want to go to our right here. But I think if we head,
I mean, how dangerous? What are we talking about here?
Well, other than the fact it's going to take us completely off the path that we need to go.
It's Hendley. There could be things in the swamp.
Hendley, yeah. Feel free to turn towards the swamp. We'll be going the other way.
The swamp is supposed to be haunted. And people who go there usually don't come back. And it's said to be...
Oh, Hendley?
And it's said to be...
Oh, that's enough. I got feelings too, you know.
And it's said
We need you here, Hendley. We're just having some sport to make a long journey more fun.
For us.
And it's said to be inhabited by the witch of Phandalin, who went out there long ago and hasn't been seen in a very, very long time.
I have a feeling we're going to see
her. The more you tell me about this, the more I want to go.
Guys, this is Lee here. My one living brother, I would like to make sure that he stays alive.
Yes, thank you for the reminder.
Yes, thank you, Lee. Yeah, sometimes we need help. Point. Yeah, we need help focusing sometimes.
I mean, is that a non-negotiable?
Yes, Hendley.
If you want to get in the cave, it's a non-negotiable.
Hey, right,
I can live with that.
Oh, you two. Get a room, will you?
Was that flirty? So you get to this clearing, and Lucas says, I think this is where we should probably make camp for the night. We'll put our tents up and start a fire, and I think that we should
do that.
We should keep watch two at a time throughout the night, and then we should make for the cave in first light.
Okay, I'll take first watch.
Okay, you'll take first watch?
I will.
Okay.
Why don't you get some sleep, Lee? Hendley, you get some sleep too on the other side of the camp.
That seems fair.
Espinosa sort of like comes up on his cane. He says, well, it's got to be two at a time, so I guess I'll watch with you.
Oh, good. Okay.
I don't mean to be prickly there, Julian, but could you get this fire started?
That's not a problem.
Oh, God, everybody stand back.
No, it's a small fire. I have more control now than before.
Yeah, let's see when you fucking roll what happens.
Burning hands.
I don't think he has to roll a star fire. He just kind of flicks his fingers and it starts a fire.
Glowers at it menacingly and it bursts into flame.
And you all go into your tents except for Thrace and Espinos watching for the camp. And Espinos comes up to you, Thrace, and he says, "So, why are you here? Why are you doing this?"
"Because you have to do something, right? You have to do something. You can't just, like, wander through life with no goals. And I want to do something worthwhile. I want to prove that I'm worthwhile."
"But why this thing? You're just looking for anything to do?"
"I just want to help people. And somehow I'm not entirely sure how I ended up with Julian and Hendley, to be honest. We just kind of fell into this. But it turned in from a small job for a handful of coins just to get me through the next couple of weeks. And now I feel like we're on a quest, a noble quest. And one day maybe I can go home and tell people about this noble quest."
"You sound like you've got something to prove, Thrace."
"Not to you."
"It seems like a lot of times people have something to prove, do stupid things. Are you going to do something stupid out there?"
"Well, it depends if punching you in the face is considered stupid."
"I think that would be
you're
pretty..."
"You're really getting on my last nerve right now."
"I think that would be pretty stupid considering the fact that you're not going to get through this without me."
"And you're not going to get through this without me."
"I can just go back home. Go back to being a little potion master
you're
in this
really
little town."
"You're really confusing me now. Can you stop? I'm going to turn this way and look this way. If you could turn that way and look that way, that would be great."
"I'm just..."
"La la 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 la, can't hear you."
"Can I ask you a question? Just one more question."
"Yes."
"If we find this very powerful artifact, what are you going to do with it?"
"Oh, I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm just moving on to the next thing."
"So you're going to unearth this very powerful artifact and then just leave it for..."
"I'm sure Julian can figure out what to do with it."
"Huh. How much do you know about Julian?"
"He really likes to set fire to things." "That's about it, really."
"So you know just about as much as I do, and you're willing to trust him with an extremely powerful magical artifact."
"You're really confusing me again."
"It's just something to think about."
"I don't like to think. I just like to hit things. I'm not here to think. That's what Julian's for."
"I think that there's going to be a lot of thinking needed coming up, Thrace."
"Oh, then I'm turning in from my shift so I can sleep."
"Yes, I think that's wise."
"That's you wise. Keep a doubt out there."
"Get your ass up, little peen. You're on watch."
"Stand to attention, little peen."
5 more minutes."
"No, you're on watch."
Snooze alarm.
Espinos rouses Lucas. Henley gets out of his tent, so does Lucas. And
I got some thinking to do.
Thrace and Espinos go back to their respective tents and sleep. As Espinos walks by, he kind of downs a potion and then goes into his tent and lays down. And so now it's Lucas and Henley kind of patrolling and keeping everyone safe. So, Henley, how are you?"
"I'm all right. You?"
I'm doing great. I'm on an adventure."
"Yeah, a little bit. I kind of like to do these things quiet-like, and you seem a little bit too animated for me."
"That's fine, but I guess if we're out here together, we might as well chit-chat. Talk.
Do you have any ale?"
Of course I have ale. Who travels without ale?"
"Only a dumb person."
"Exactly."
Oh, wait, I don't have any ale."
"Well, to be fair, you just came from another adventure, so it's a little tough for you to have supplies and stores of ale."
"He did bring the deposit bottles."
You'd talk my little ear off if you just get me a pint."
And Lucas reaches into his pocket and pulls out like a flask. And he snaps his fingers and a kind of a flagon appears in your hand and he pours from the flask. And he pours it into a flagon of his own. Cheers!
Hendley has just made a friend for life.
It's pretty good, right?
It's delightful. It's delicious. It's still lovely.
So, Mr. Little Peen, I got like a little kid there for a second.
My father was Mr. Little Peen, just Little Peen.
Sorry, Little Peen. So I gotta ask, you don't seem like the type of person who would go on sort of an adventure like this. Why are you here?
You never know when you're gonna find some treasure, and I'm with this kind of mental nitwit of a dragonborn. I'm with this hoity-toity magic man, and I'll think they're gonna slip up and they're gonna give me the ability to take some treasure. And you never know what you're going to find.
I mean, not to sort of poke holes in your story, Little Peen, but there seems like there's some awful easier ways to get some treasure.
Well, I'm always looking for that next big score. And sometimes you got to do things where people are going to look up at you and want you to help them out. And you do that, and then you take them for a ride.
So this is all just purely, you just did it for the money then?
I've never said anything but
that. I guess that's true. From the little time I've known you, that's pretty much all you've talked about. So, but aren't you also a paranormal investigator? That piece of paper you showed me said you were like a top paranormal investigator.
Oh, right. Yeah, that thing. I'll dabble.
Wow, you must be a really accomplished guy.
I've seen some things. I've done some things. Not seen some things and not done some things too.
I gotta ask you a question too, and I hope you don't find this offensive. I mean, I'm a halfling living among all these humans and elves, and I always feel, you know, kind of separated, kind of alone. I mean, you're a half elf. What has that been like for you?
I mean, that's a little personal. I'd rather not talk about it.
Do you want some more ale?
Absolutely, I do.
So he pours you some more ale, a big honking glass of ale.
Take two.
Take two.
Take two.
That's even better than the first one. What were you saying? Oh, yeah, half elf. I don't know, it's a little bit, but like, you get some respect if you're an elf, you get some respect if you're a man, and then you get about half the respect if you're a half-elf. And that's why I just take things, because no one's ever given me the real time of day. It takes some time. You gotta do the whole the sundial thing. It takes a little bit of time to find out the time of day. But I've never really been one for people to, you know, tip their hat to or not punch in the face.
Well, that sounds tough. I understand feeling like, you know, you have to sort of take what's deserved to you and feeling sort of not belonging to anything. I used to belong. I used to have something, but that was a long time ago. So
Miller, why? Now I know we. Well, never mind.
What?
Out of game. I was supposed to ask you why you're here, but then I realized that I tricked you. Actually, that's really funny. Hold on.
Ask the question.
Now, why are you here?
Right now, like on this quest with you guys. Well, I mean, partly you guys did, you know, fix my problem at my house, which was great.
Right. Yeah.
But I
100% remember everything about that.
I know you were the one who took them all up all by yourself, right?
I did. That's what they call me. The take them all up on myself.
That's a good nickname, man. I think that's great.
It's all hyphenated.
Look good on a t-shirt.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm here, kind of why I was able to go with you guys. But I would have gone, you know, if my house hadn't been haunted and you guys come, I would have gone. I don't have a lot to go back to. So, I mean, it's time to do something, you know?
I agree. You want some ale?
I would love some ale.
Good. Get me one.
one, a nightcap, as they say, and he pours one for each of you, and he downs it, and he goes, and he rouses Lee, and he says, hey, could you wake up Julian? I think it's his turn for the watch.
Oh, wait, me?
Yes, you.
Oh, no, I think so. He goes to get Lee and says that. I'm sorry.
And no,
says
I roused Lee, and I said to you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Can you go rouse Julian?
All right. Yeah. Thanks for the beverages.
Anytime.
Much appreciate. Hey, wizard boy, your turn.
What? Huh?
Rouse and shine.
You should watch how you say shine to me, thief boy. I'll light your hair on fire. I'm sorry. I'm always cranky in the morning before I have my first coffee.
I don't know what that is, but all right.
What? What's up? Where are we in trouble?
It's your turn for the watch.
If I promise not to set you on fire, will you take my watch?
I would do that, except I don't want to, so no.
That's reasonable. From you, that is reasonable, so I'll take that as a no. How was the watch? Was there anything we should be concerned about?
I don't know. I wasn't watching.
I expect no less.
Chatty boy over there. He was handling most of the looking with the eyes.
Do you have anything to say to you that might be of value to us moving forward?
He's a pity party, that one. No, he seems pretty valueless to me.
Okay, I respect your judgment.
It's probably a mistake.
I don't believe you. Good night.
Good night, Henley, my friend.
So, Julian wakes up. Henley goes to bed, you and Lee are out doing watch now, and Lee sort of is absentmindedly kind of like just strumming at her lute, and she looks at you and she says, "Julian, I mean, I know why I'm here, but what are you doing here? Why are you doing this?"
Well. There are many reasons, some you'd understand, some you might not. But your quest to avenge the death of your brothers and moving forward has touched all of us. So that is our first focus. That said, helping you will help me. I can't say too much more. It's very complicated, but I think we'll be good for each other.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, you were already kind of going to go to the cave before you came and got me. So I figured that I wasn't the only reason you were going to the cave.
You're quite intuitive. Most musicians are.
Is there something you're trying to find? Is there something that you're
yes,
you've lost?
Yes, I can tell you. I think I can trust you among all of our little group. Having lost so much, you can understand. I've lost quite a bit, and there's something I'm trying to get back. A very special book.
Well, I'll tell you, Julian, that if I can help you get back what you want to get back, I will absolutely do that. I don't know if you know what it's like to feel like you're so alone. I feel like I'm the only thing left like me here.
No, we are much more alike than you would realize, Lee. Much more alike. And that's why this quest is going to work, because two such aligned souls cannot make a mistake.
That's really nice. Can I ask you a question? I want to know. I overheard Gizmodo talking about a book, something that was in Neverwinter that's not there anymore, and there seemed to be a kind of hint that you might know something about that.
Not as much as I would like, despite my various powers. That said, I think just holding it in my hands will make a difference. And that's why we need to have it.
Okay. Just a timeout really quick in game world.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You still have the book. You have the book from the first adventure?
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
You have it. Yeah, only thing that's missing is that one page.
It's not the book, it's the page.
It's the page that got ripped out, but you have the book. All right, so time in.
But none of us know he has the book.
Henley knows.
Henley knows. But I don't.
Right. You don't know.
Yeah.
Henley absolutely knows.
There's a page.
Yeah.
There's a page missing from this book that contains the last piece to the puzzle.
to something important.
Very important.
Do you have the rest of the book?
Yes, but if one makes the wrong incantation, the wrong calling to the wrong spirits, it can be fatal for everyone, everywhere.
Oh, I mean, my family and my history, I know that's the case. I'll say that Gizmodo did say that it might be the key to finding the things that we need to find, so you might have to roll that, forgive the pun, roll the dice.
Yes.
At some point on it, but...
Again, it's why I think all our goals are aligned for the most part. Not so sure about some of our new hires, but I think it will work.
All right.
You must keep this between us for now, however.
Oh, I will. Don't worry. And as you're talking, the sun is sort of coming up over the rising in the east. The first light is starting to kind of crawl up onto your campsite. Lee says, "Well, I think we should wake everybody up, but I mean, we should have one last little bit of pleasantness before we
please
wake everybody up and go on this what could be a very deadly adventure." She sits down with her lute by the dying fire and starts to play.
I was imagining like a
oh
little,
man, I could have had a fuck you Bobby song in there.
Yeah. I was imagining a little montage, everyone like sharpening their weapons and eating some breakfast. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And it's just me snoring.
That was great, Brian.
I mean, that's exactly what's happening though. You guys are getting up, Thrace, you're sharpening your Warhammer. Henley is, you know, reading his books, memorizing his spells.
Julian, well, it could be Henley.
Oh, sorry, I meant Julian. Sorry, I meant Julian. I'm sorry. Henley is snoring his ass off in the tent, waiting for that last possible second to have to wake up, to have to get up and go on the adventure.
Not time yet, Mom.
Espinosa is, you know, he's sort of messing with some different ingredients, different potions, Lucas is looking through his sort of bag of explosives and distraction items and sort of...
Oh, God.
Sort of shaking his head and looking.
I'm thinking about the end of season one of Lost.
Oh, the dynamite?
Arnst,
yeah.
We just lose one of our guys right now.
And Lucas is dead. This is all happening. It's sort of that calm... Wow. Right before the storm, you guys are so kind of wrapped up in what you're doing, you don't notice at first that Lee has stopped playing her lute.
Start playing the piano.
And now she's playing one of those one-man band things. And like, all of a sudden you realize that it's now deadly silent,
And as you turn and look at Lee, she is now standing kind of almost petrifiedly frozen. And she has her eyes closed and she's just sort of sitting there pointing down the swamp path with her eyes closed and completely frozen.
Lee, what is it?
Lee, help
Lee,
us.
Lee, do you see anything?
What can we do to help you?
Her eyes fly open, but they're completely white. And when she speaks, it's not her voice anymore, but the voice you heard when you were passed out when fake Sildar revealed himself. And it's again that weird echoey voice, and it's desperate, but and it says,
I've got a friend named Lee. I'm useless. Not for long. Please don't stop the music.
And as she points, the swamp almost sort of like disappears, and like it's almost like the veil of reality is being kind of shimmered away. And behind it, you can see buildings like you've never seen before. You can see what look like big metal carriages. You can hear a din of noise, and then suddenly it's gone. And Lee keeps pointing, and she says,
"Which a woman?"
And then she passes out.
Which a woman?
Mm-hmm. And when she passes out, you see the three marks on her forehead.
Uh-oh.
And she can't be roused.
Oh no, now what do? We can't get in there without her.